I'm going to start a sugya called Omrim Lo Liyodom or Ein Omrim Lo Liyodom Chatei Kedei Sheyizke Chavercha. And this has to...
One thing from last week, it's actually 2 weeks ago, that I was fascinated. It seems like everybody here takes the tzitzis and holds all four, which is something
I know. That's the way they taught me as a kid, but I don't think it's right, because you need two tzitzis in the front and two in the back.
Rabbi, you don't think it's right? Okay, interesting. Even for that minute or two that you had saying the shmatz.
Yeah, why should you? You know, you want to show and demonstrate chibuv mitzvah by taking the tzitzis into your hand.
Yeah.
It's a little bit paradoxical to do it in a way that undermines the mitzvah of tzitzis.
Okay, right. I remember discussing it. I just wanted to tell you last week how many people I noticed when I take a look. They seem to.
Right. Work. I'm just saying that's the way I was taught as well.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
All right. So what's this all about? We know that Kol Yisrael are Reivim Zeh Bazeh, and everyone has a responsibility towards another Jew, and that responsibility, perhaps even primarily, is in the area of mitzvos and spirituality, and it means that we have to be very careful to see to it that other Jews will be Mekayim their mitzvahs. Well, the whole movement of Kiruv is based on that premise. But the question is, how far does that go? Does that mean that I'm required to violate an Avera for the sake of someone else doing a mitzvah? And in Kiruv, these kinds of issues come up all the time. So that what I'd like to study with you is a Beis Yosef, but in order to get to this Beis Yosef, who quotes a Rashba, we really have to go through the sugyas inside. So on the first page of Yomar Makomos, what you have is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos.
There a Purim party outside there?
Yeah, because today is Purim cut. But you're able to hear what I'm saying anyway?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So it says like that. Boy Rav Bibi Barabai. Rav Bibi Barabai had the following suffix. Hidbik Paspitanur. First, the case is where Reuven is alone. There's no one else involved, correct? And Reuven has put dough into the oven, correct? Now, if Reuven puts dough into the oven, then he's going to violate, inevitably, a Malacha Dorais of Afia. Afia is one of the 39 Malachas. So we're talking about Hidbik Pas B'Tanu B'Shabbos. The only way he could save himself from violating the Malacha of Afia on Shabbos is by doing what's called Rediyas HaPas. And Rediyas HaPas means that he could take the pas and remove it. Correct?
That's also an Avera.
Oh, but that's also an Avera. That's only an Avera on a lower level.
That's right.
And the question is, can we be matir him to do that Avera in order to prevent him from violating a more severe Avera? Hitiru lola lirdosa o lo hitiru. Hitiru lirdosa kodem sheyovo lidei chiv chatos. In other words, apparently the Gemara is talking about a person who didn't deliberately violate Melech HaShabbos with Edom and Asrah. He accidentally did such a thing. And as a result, if we let time take its course, he's going to have to bring a karban chatos for violating a chiv misa, b'shogeg, or they were not matir him. So that's the first case. And basically, the Gemara ultimately says that he's going to go ahead and he is going to remove the pas from the tanur, whether we like it or not. He's not going to stand by idly and let the malacha take place. Amale Rav Acha Bar Avi Bar Baile Ravina Heki Dami Ilem Bishogeg Veloid Kerle Laman Hitiru. If he was a Shogeg and he didn't remember that it was Shabbos, he didn't remember that there's Melech Shabbos. So what is this business about Hitiru? Hitiru means he came to ask us a question. He must have been aware that it's Shabbos. El Olav Dihader V'Idkar. It must be that at some point or another, before the pas was nefes, he reminded himself that, oive, what did I do at Shabbos? Or, oive, this is a malacha. In such a case, mi chayve. Is he actually chayev in a karban chatas in such a case? We have a rule when it comes to shkogos that you have to be tchilosa v'sofa b'shkoga. In other words, the avera, when it's complete, has to be bishkaga from the beginning until the end. So once again, if at some point he found out before the aver was completed that he did not, he's in a jeopardy of violating a molacha Shabbos, so it's not sofa bishkaga. If it's not sofa bishkaga, then he won't have to bring a carbon chattis anyway. So you're not really saving him anything. Ella b'mezid, but let's say he deliberately put the dough into the oven. Is kodem shiyavali day isu skila mi boile? Why did you say that we're trying to prevent him from a chiyuv of chattis b'shogeg? We really have to put more serious, weighty cards on the table. We're talking about saving him from a chiyuv of a chiyuv skila. Because he was amazing. And basically the Farshim explained that for sure, in a case where a person is, if he doesn't do anything to reverse his actions, to retract his actions, he's going to be in violation of a Chiyuv Misa. For sure, we have to encourage him, and even if we don't encourage him, he'll do it on his own, to retract his Avera and prevent himself from it reaching its fruition as a Chiyuv Skila, as a Chiyuv Misa, and even if it means that he'll have to violate some sort of lower echelon Avera, but in order to spare his life, for sure we're going to have to allow that. Omar Rav Shilo, no. We're talking about a different scenario. Li'ola b'shogeg. Really, it's a case of shogeg. Ah, you'll ask me, now he found out about it, and if he found out about it now, it's not sofo bishkaga. Laman hi tiru, but what was the issue? Lacherim. He himself doesn't even know that he's about to incur a chiyuv chatos. He's still unaware of the fact that it's Shabbos. But we know it's Shabbos. And if that be the case, if we, I use the royal we, but if anybody goes ahead and takes the pas out of the oven, that's Radiyas HaPas, he will be saving, we'll call him Ruvain from a chiyuv chatos. Rav Sheshes says, I don't understand your question at all. The very assumption of your question that we would have to violate an Issa d'Rabbanan and be rode to the pass in order to prevent someone else from violating an Issa Chamur of Skila. We have a principle, Chi Omrim Lo Liadam, Chatei Kidei Sheyizka Chavercha. We're going to tell Shimon to violate an Avera for the sake of protecting Reuven from an Avera. I have to protect myself. I have to avoid any Avera whatsoever. What would be the Habamina, says the Gemara, that I would violate an Isur for the sake of saving someone else from an Isur? And again, we're talking about the fact that Reuven was amazed. I'm sorry, my mistake. Reuven was a shogeg. So in this case where Reuven was a shogeg, then why should we allow Shimon, or how can we allow Shimon to violate an Isur? We don't say Omrim lo liadam chatei b'shvil shetizke chavercha. Now, before the Gemara never questions this, and this seems to be the bottom line and the final principle halacha, that we don't tell Shimon to violate an avera in order to prevent Reuven from an avera. It's almost like the principle of Rabbi Akiva of Chayecha Kod Min L'Chayecha Vercha. Or perhaps it's a different halacha. The halacha is that you don't have a matir of chet, and that's all. Whatever happens, Hashem will take care of it. That's not your business. So again, there are two ways of learning this. Einon Omer Liadam Chatei means because I have to worry about my own sin, I want to keep my record clean, and I come first because Chayecha Kod Min, or maybe you can look at it as more of a metaphysical kind of thing, that I don't have any obligation to worry about him. Hashem will worry about him. My problem is worrying about myself. And therefore, I'm not going to get involved in his Aveira. Now, we're gonna see Tosis, but before we see Tosis, let's take a look at the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph.
Seems like a very tricky topic. Very tricky.
Okay, well, we got to give it some time, Avi, because don't jump the gun. We need to flesh out the sugya and then get to the Tshuvas HaRashba in Yirtzeh Hashem. Believe it. Okay. So the Gemara in Erevin is talking about the following case. In general, when it comes to Tshuvos of Maisros, we have to know a few rules. One rule is that there's a distinction between an Ama Oretz and a Chaver. Chaver is someone who's reliable, he's constantly involved at every moment in fulfilling his mitzvos, he's meticulous, he'll be mafresh Tshuvos and Maisros. And the Ama Oretz, on the other hand, hasn't learned the laws, or even if he did learn the laws, he's not very careful about implementing the laws. Now, a situation arises in which, again, we'll call him Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says to Shimon, and the language is, again, Reuven is the Chaver and Shimon is the Ama Oretz. Is basically what Reuven is saying to Shimon is, take from my sal of figs, right? And figs are chayiv and trumas and maisers, and enjoy them. Just go out and enjoy them. The chaver acher shama. So Reuven is talking to Shimon. Reuven is the Chaver and Shimon is the Ama Oretz. And Levi overhears this conversation. Okay. Now, what does Levi know? So the Gemara quotes the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Chaver Sheshoma, the Levi who hears, overhears this conversation. Rashoi Lecho Me'ateinim V'eino Tzarech Li'aser. He certainly, if he's invited to do so, is allowed to eat any of these figs. And why is that? The vadai isure maser hu chaver kameiluye. It must be that Reuven was mafresh trumas and maisers, because otherwise, why did he tell Shimon, take from my kalkola shalteinim? And the Gemara quotes the following principle. Nichole lechaver deliavid hu isura klila v'lo liavid amaoretz isura rab. Okay, what's this all about? So Rashi explains that the so-called isure kala with a kuf, is what's called lahafresh truma shalom min hamukaf, meaning, according to the Din Rabbanon, this is all the Rabbanon, I cannot take Maiser off of these Te'enim unless they're sitting right there in front of me on my table. You know, the fact that I have Te'enim in Gibraltar, that doesn't mean that I can stand here in Yerushalayim to be mafresh for the Te'enim in Gibraltar. That's called Shalom in Amukov. Mukov means it's got to be nearby. And that's a violation of a derabbanan. On a deraisa level, I could be mafresh here for peros that are on the other side of the world. And now, what's happening is that in order to guarantee that the amaretz will not eat from tevel, which is an isur chamur, we're going to be violating this isur derabbanan of Hafrasha Shalom Min HaMukaf. And the principle that Rebbe formulates here is that we can definitely assume that wherever this Chaver is, wherever Reuven is, he was Mafish, even if it's Shalom Min HaMukaf, because since he wants to make sure that Shimon, the Amoritz, will not eat Peros of Tevel, then if need be and there's no other option, Reuven will certainly be mafresh even Shalom in Amukov.
That would cover the derabbanan.
That would be a violation of an isa derabbanan, but in order to avoid,
if he takes an Amukov, then it would
if he takes Shalom in Amukov, It would be, if he takes shalom and amukaf, it would be a violation of an isur rabbanon. But if that's the only way he can guarantee that Shimon will not eat tevel, that's exactly what he's going to do.
One second, my son is screaming. One second. I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay, I'm just saying that's why Shimon will not eat tevel, and the Levi will be allowed to eat from this same kalkol shel peros, because the assumption is that Reuven for sure was mafrish trumas and maisrus. So now we have an explicit principle, I mean, based on the Gemara in Erevin, that royally adam laval isur kal kedei lahatzil schaver miisur chom, that Reuven was mafresh shalom and amukaf, and he violated an isur kal, in this case an isur drabanon, in order to spare and save Shimon from violating an isur chamur. And that's what the Gemara establishes here in Masechta Erevin. The Gemara says on the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis Amid Aleph, and we're going on to Lamed Beis Amid Beis Reisha Bi Ama Oretz She'omar Lechaver Sefer Bechaver She'omar Lama Oretz Vechaver Acher Shama. So we're interested now in the Sefer where the Chaver spoke to the Ama Oretz, telling him that he could take from this Kalkala. And the Gemara says, Savar Oso Chaver, this is on the top of Lamed Beis Amid Beis, the Chaver thought, Ochel V'eino Tzarech Liaser Devadai Isurei Maser. He was absolutely convinced that the Chaver was certainly Mafish. Correct?
Oh.
So, Rab Shimon ben Gamliel Omer lo yochal ad she'as lefish lo nechshu chaverim litrom shalom en amukav. According to Rab Shimon Gamliel, there's no way, no how, that Levi could eat from this kalkal shel peros, assuming under the assumption that Reuven was mafresh, because that afrosh would be afrosh shalom min hamukaf, which is an asur, and lo nechshu chaverim. Since Reuven is a chaver, we don't suspect a chaver being torem shalom min hamukaf. That's the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. The Amalei Rebbe Mutav Sheyachshedu Chaverim Litro Shalom and Amukav Yal Yochlu Amearetz Tvolim. So Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, Rebbe disagreed sharply with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he says, you know what? Let's be choshesh and assume that Reuven, under these circumstances, was mafresh Shalom Min Hamukav. And the reason for that is because Lo Yachilo Amiaretz Tvolim. He doesn't want to feed Amiaretz Tevel. The Maika Miflegi. What's the Yisod Hamachlokas the Gemara raises between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe? Rebbe Sover Nichalei Lechaver Dili Avid Hu Isurei Klila Veloli Avid Amiaretz Isurei Rabba. Rebbe says that it's better for the Chaver to violate an Isur Kal in order to prevent the Amiaretz from violating an Isur Chamur. For Rav Shimon Gamliel, Savar Nichalei Lechaver Dilievet Amaretz Isura Rabba VeIyu Afilu Isura Klila Lo Liavet. It's a better recommendation that we keep the record of the Talmud Chacham, the Chaver, absolutely clean of any violation, even if it means avoiding a violation of a klila nature, of a low case later, namely like hafrash shalom ben amukov, rather than prevent the ma'aretz from an iser rabba, in which case the chaver will have violated an iser klila. So in this balancing act, according to Shimon Gamliel, between violating on the part of a chaver violating an iser kal, as opposed to the ma'aretz violating an iser chamur, we're going to tip the scale, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, in favor of avoiding the violation of an Isur Kal. Yeah, that's Rav Shimon Gamliel. Whereas Rebbe holds not like that. Rebbe is of the opinion that it's best for a Chaver in this circumstance to violate an Isur Kal, if need be, in order to circumvent the possibility of the Amaretz violating an Isur Chom. Now, assuming that we paskin like Rebbe, in a machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, it comes out that we're absolutely contradicting with a head-on collision everything that we learned in Masechta Shabbos. Because in Masechta Shabbos it was clear from the sugya of Ein Omrim Li Adam Lachto Kedei Sheyizke Chavercha. We do not tell Reuven to violate an Isur in order to prevent Shimon from violating an Avera. And yet here, according to Rebbe, we're going to encourage and even perhaps obligate the Chaver to be Mafra Shalom and Amukav and violate an Isur Rabbanon in order to avoid Shimon violating an Isur Tevel. That's the stereo between the two sugyas. You know, if we ever found a contradiction between two sugyas, which is almost explicit, it's this contradiction. Again, if you don't like Rav Shimon Gamliel, there's nothing to talk about. Rav Shimon Gamliel says no, you're not going to violate even an Isur Kolil for the sake of protecting so and so Amoritz from an Isur Chamor. But according to Rebbe, and assuming we paskin like Rebbe, Rebbe seems to be maintaining that Omrim Lo Liyodim Chatei Bishvil Sheyizke Chavero. Violate the Isur Drabbanan of Hafras Shalom and Amukav if that's what's necessary in order to prevent the Amoretz from eating Tevel. Eating Tevel is Achiv Misav De Shamayim. Oh. So now we want to go back to the Sugya in Shabbos and take a look at Tosfos. So this you'll have again on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph in Shabbos on the left side of your page 1. You have that?
Yeah.
He says, "V'hadi Amar b'kol Ma'arvin." He now quotes the sugya in Erevin. Rebbe Savar Nichole Lechaver Dilievedi Sura Klila V'loliavedi Sura Loliavet Amaretz Sura Rabba. So you see that we do encourage someone to do a chait in order to sheyizke chavero. Says Tosus Hosam Kidei Shelo Yochal Amaretz Tevel Al Yado. Oh, says Tosus, if Shimon is doing something on his own, I had nothing to do with it, and that which Shimon is doing is a violation.
I can leave it alone.
I can leave it alone. I'm not obligated. What's unique about the Sugyan Erevin is that it was Reuven who told Shimon, it was the Chaver who instructed the Amoretz to eat from this Chalkal Shel Peros.
Then you're responsible.
Then you're responsible. If you got Yenim into the situation of a Suffolk Isur, you have to get him out of that. Because you were the one who, B'mo Yadecha, actively created that situation. You're the Goreim of his Chet. That's the Sugyan Erevin. But here in Shabbos, somebody decides to put a dough into the oven. I never encouraged it, and I'm not therefore responsible for it. That's what I call teretz number one in Tosfos. And we're going to see in Yirtzeh Hashem that the Beis Yosef, in the name of the Rashba, is going to build a lot on this teretz. But if you fast forward about 6 or 7 lines to Omer Rivam in the same Tosfos, Omer Rivam, you'll find a second approach. Says the Riva, "Afilu lemidbat lamadbik atzmo ein lifshot." You know, you might want to ask, well, at least the person who put the dough into the oven, I mean, he himself has to take the dough out of the oven before it bakes, otherwise he'll be in violation of an Isur Kares. Says the Riva, Hasam adailo nasasa ha'isur. The reason why we can encourage someone, let's say the madbik atzmo, to get it out is because at that stage, at that moment in time, the isur was not violated yet. Because we have to wait till the gemar bishul, until the isur is all cooked. Pardon the pun. Umutav sheyasa isur kav v'lo yasa isur chomor al yado. Aval hacha hamaisa shel isur kvar nase ubemele yigmar, on its own it will be completed. Is therefore lo yasa filu isur kal v'yadayim. So let's try to understand the teretz of the Riva. The Rivo wants to claim that everything boils down to the following question: was the Avera done yet? And he wants to say that in the case, what do you say?
In the second Shabbat, it's already done.
Oh, yes and no. I mean, what was done? I mean, No. I'm saying in Masechet Shabbos, when the issue came up of whether or not to remove the dough from the oven, had the Avera already been committed?
I think so. Then it's her problem, no?
Well, again, we're talking before the Afia took place.
No.
So the Avera of Afia has not yet taken place. But Tosa says it doesn't depend upon the Avera per se, it depends upon the Mais Avera. Right? Every Avera can be divvied up into two different dimensions. There's the Mais Avera, and then there's the Chalos Avera. The Chalos Avera in Okinami only is achieved when the dough is baked. But the Mais Avera is putting the dough into the oven. And therefore, Memela Yigmar, the Gmar of the Easter is going to be done Memela. It's going to happen inadvertently. I mean, but what he did was, he did a complete Mais Avera. The Mais Avera is putting the pas into the oven. So let's read the Riva inside now. Hasam Adayin Lo Nasa Isur. There we will recommend that Reuven, the Chaver, should go ahead and be Mafir Shalom Ben HaMukov. Why? Because that Isur has not yet been violated. Aval Hacha. Oh, so let's clarify this. The Isur Chomer here is when Shimon will eat Tevel. Did Shimon eat the Tevel yet? Shimon hasn't yet eaten the Tevel. So we're going to allow Reuven to be Mafir Shalom Ben HaMukov, which is an Isur Kal, in order to prevent Shimon from engaging in a Mais Avera. Whereas Hacha, but here, the Mais Avera was already done. And the rest of the Avera, the Chalos Avera, is going to happen in Mela. Is there Fafilu Iser Kal B'Yadayim Lo Yase? Don't do anything to prevent him from the Chalos Avera, the Gemara Avera, if the Mais Avera has already been implemented. Now, are you able to see the other set of pages on your screen?
Other set of pages.
You remember that the way that it's divided up, there are two sets of pages.
Oh, the summary thing?
The summary thing.
I don't have it here. I have sources only.
So in that summary, as you call it,
I have something at the beginning. I don't know if it's a summary.
Well, on the second page, if you
top, I have that second page.
The top, awesome. What do you have on the top of your second page?
Get,
do you have a number? Do you have a number, or there's no number?
No.
There's no number. No. So the first thing you should have is Chatei Kedei Sheyizke Chavercha. Okay, great. Now, if you skip down about seven lines, do you see an aleph in brackets? Towards the top of your page, but let's say a third of the way down the page.
No. There's an aleph, but it's not in brackets.
Uh-huh. So, wait a minute. Then, why aren't you on the same page as I am? Let's see if something... I think you're on the first page. Can you go over to the next page? You don't see an aleph in brackets on the next page?
The next page is Masechet Shabbat and Erevin, like we've been doing.
Ah, so then you're in the wrong section.
In the wrong section, yeah.
All right, so maybe you can listen Baal Peh then.
I'll listen Baal Peh.
If you can find it. And maybe you can look for it while I'm presenting. So first he starts to reconcile the Gemara in Shabbos with the Gemara in Erevin. He starts with the Teretz of Tosfos that the Masechta Erevin Achaver Hu Hagoreim Li Isur Shel Achila. It's the Chaver himself, by inviting the Amoritz to eat and take from his Kalkola, he is the Goreim of the Isur, and therefore we impose upon this Chaver in this particular case a chiyuv, an obligation, which is a chet, again, it's a chet of an Isur Kal, a Truma Shalom and a Mukov, in order to prevent his friend from an Isur Chom, because he himself, that Chaver was the Goreim, he was the cause of the Isur Chom. Number two, Beis, he says, Kasher Adayin Lo Nasasa HaYisur. This is already the answer of the Riva. The Riva says that the reason why we could be mekil in the sugyan erevin is because the iser hasn't been done yet. There's no maisa vera of achilas tevel. So we got to do whatever we can to prevent Shimon's terrible avera of eating tevel. And therefore, we'll advocate to Reuven and obligate him to be chote with a chet kal to prevent Shimon from a chet chamur. Because Shimon has not engaged in any sort of Maisa very yet. But in the case of Shabbos, of Hadbokas Pas B'Tanur, there the Maisa Vera on the part of Shimon was already done. Shimon already put the dough into the oven. That's the complete Maisa Vera Vafia. Shall we tell Reuven to violate an Iser Kal of Rediyas HaPas in order to prevent the Maisa Vera of Shimon from maturing or developing into a Chalosh Shema Vera? If the Avera is already done, then we're not going to do so. That is the second approach. So in any event, in this presentation, he has a third answer. And this third answer is also in Tosfos. And that is to differentiate between what's called a mitzvah rabbah, or otherwise called as a mitzvah derabim, as opposed to a regular mitzvah. And that means that you're allowed to violate an Iser Kal in order to help someone be mekayim a mitzvah rabbah, a great mitzvah. Now, what's a mitzvah rabbah? The classical case of a mitzvah rabbah is Pirya Verivya. And this is a message we have to get out to all the bachelors. And we have quite a number of them here in the neighborhood, and I think you probably know many of them, probably even more than I know. But
they would be allowed to violate an Iser Kala.
An Iser Kala in order to facilitate a person to get married. What's the case?
They could have relations with a woman as long as she went to the mikvah and just have an Iser Kal and then have children, because the greater mitzvah is per rabu without getting married.
No, well, that would be a problem of a lav of Kadesha. But here's the case of an Iser Kal. The halacha is that a master is not supposed to free his eved. Okay, we're talking about an Eved Knani now. An Eved Knani comes under the Iser of Li'olam Bohem Ta'avodu.
I never become free unless there's an injury.
Right. Oh, but the Gemara has in Masechta Gittin a strange case of what's called a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. And this case is a person who can't get married. He can't marry a Shifcha because he's a Chatzi Ben Chorin. He can't marry a Bas Yisrael because he's a Chatzi Eved. So in such a case, we encourage the Adon to be Meshachar the Eved, make him into a full Ben Chorin, to allow him to marry a Jewish girl, and to be Mekayim the Mitzvah period of Arivia. The Gemara has another case, where they had 9 people from Minyan, and Rebbe had an Eved, his name was Tuvi Avdi, and he needed Tuvi to be Mashlu the Minyan. So he gave him a Get Shechrur, he was Meshachrim as an Eved, and as a result, this person was able, who used to be an Eved, was able as Ben Chorin to be mashlim the minyan, and that's called the mitzvah derabbanan.
But cannot immediately become a full-fledged Jew for freedom?
Yeah, I mean, there's machlokas rishonim whether they need another ma'isa tvila, another gerus. You know, there was a gerus when they became an eved, and they may need a second gerus. I mean, at least as far as tvila is concerned, in order to be mashlim the kedushas Yisrael and make them a full ben charan Yisrael.
How is a person half and half? Because they have two
half and half means that there was shutvim. There were two partners that owned jointly an eved. One was meshacher, and the other was not meshacher. Now this person, this eved, is only a chatzi eved. He's also a chatzi ben chor. Trust me, it's one of the most profound sugyas in Shas. You know, I'm just giving you from the top, but it's very very profound. Chatzi eved, chatzi ben chor. In any event, it comes out that the Adon is being encouraged to violate an Iser of Li'olam Bahem Ta'avodu, which is called an Iser Kal, for the sake of either a mitzvah rabba in the case of Piri Verivya, or a mitzvah derabim in the case of a minyan. Now, what we do have to understand here is, what does that have to do with the sugya in Erevin? So let me just get out my let's just open up the Tosis here, and he says the following. He says v'hadis nan ba'sholeach misha chetzi oevin chetzi ben chorin kofenis rabo v'yososo ben chorin afagav da'ai pirkom le Rabbi Yehuda kolam shachar avdo over b'yesei delolam ben kavod shiny piri v'rivya the mitzvah rabahi. So we shouldn't be bothered by that question. So basically, I just want to point out to you that what we just said here as rule number three, that for the sake of a mitzvah rabbi, you're allowed to violate Isur Kal, that's not relevant to the reconciliation of the Lachora contradiction between the Gemara and Shabbos and the Gemara and Erevin. This is just another principle that we have based on a sugya in Masechta Gittin about being Meshachar in Erevin.
I just thought of an interesting case with the Puriya Verivya where it's possible where
what would be a case?
Shinnok is held back because the woman says, I want to do Averus, I want to continue to do these Averus Kalas, and therefore when you hold back a Shinnok, if a woman says, for example, I want to go without a hair cover, for example, she says, oh, go to the mikvah and count the clean days and keep Shabbat, oh, for sure, I'll do all the big ones.
Right.
The hair covering is annoying, I'm not going to do it. Would that be a relevant case to what we're talking about?
Well, again, what we're talking about here in Tosfos is a situation where a person can't get married. Do you understand what I'm saying? He has no possibility al pi halacha to get married. He's a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. Therefore, his mitzvah piri v'rivya is absolutely blockaded because he has this issue of being a chatzi eved. So we're going to kofes rabo l'shachres chetzia. Why? Because then this person has an option of getting married and fulfilling the mitzvah piri v'rivya. That doesn't mean that for the sake of piri v'rivya you could violate the Yisurim in the Torah. What it means is that if someone doesn't have the possibility of piri v'rivya, so for example, if this woman is not appropriate for him, you know, she's not a tznua, so we'll tell him to marry a different woman. Who says he's got to marry this woman? All right.
I hear.
Well, let's say, for example, in the Rashba's case, which we're almost up to the Rashba, that was the pinnacle of today's Shia, is that the Rashba wants to know about violating an Isur Tchum. Can I go Chutz L'Tchum on Shabbos for the sake of preventing someone from being dragged off and you know, he'll never know he's Jewish if it's a young child, like, you know, whatever it is. So that's a case where you might want to say that your violation of Tchumen maybe is an Isur Kal, and preventing that person from becoming a Meshumad that's you know, that's what we call a mitzvah rabba. You know, a mitzvah rabba means it contains all the weight of all 613. But I want to point out that Tosis in Erevin adds another principle here to this whole discussion. Oh. He wants to suggest the following: that there's no contradiction between Shabbos and Erevin. In Shabbos, Shimon put the dough into the oven. Shimon, therefore, was careless. He should have been more careful. There's a certain element of negligence here, of pshia. Why does Reuven have to violate the aveir of Radiyas HaPas for the sake of Shimon, who was a poshea? Not so in the case in Masechta Erevin. There, Reuven notifies Shimon, hey, I got a kalkalashel to aid him here. Help yourself. Shimon was not in any way a poshea. He was totally reliant on Reuven and Reuven's status as a chaver. In such a case, we would say that Omrim lo liadam chate, you, Reuven, who invited Shimon was in no way a poshea, to eat from these te'enim, you have to make sure, even if it means violating an Iser Kal, that the Amoretz, Shimon, will not violate the Iser Chomer. But in the case where Shimon put dough into the oven, we don't tell Reuven and expect of him to violate the Iser Diyas HaPas for the sake of Shimon, who is a poshea. Even though, again, he's a shogeg, but still, every shgaga entails an element of negligence. All right, now we're ready for the Tshuvas HaRashba. So that's on page 2. And it's in the Beis Yosef in Simon Shin Zayin, which of course is Hilchos Shabbos, or Chaim Hilchos Shabbos. And he writes, Nishal HaRashba Al Echad Shesholach Lo Sholchu Lo B'Shabbos. They sent him a message on Shabbos. They notified him, Shahutziu Bito Bechazka, that the Goyim physically removed his daughter from the house. Mibeso Al Yad Al Yidei Yisrael Meshumad. So the assumption here in the Rashba is that a Yisrael Meshumad has the status here of a Goy, or maybe even worse than a Goy. And why is this Meshumad hijacking? Well, what's another word for hijacking?
Kidnapping.
Kidnapping. Thanks, I forgot that. Why is he kidnapping a young girl? The answer is because Lo Tziyah Michlal Yisrael wants to make sure that he'll be able to poison her mind against the religion of Israel and the people of Israel. Now, in Yosim L'derech Pa'ama B'Shabbos, if he'll get on the move on Shabbos, pen yafchidu v'tishtamed, in order to avoid this situation where the meshuvah might scare her and make sure that she converts, hayimuto lelech afilu chutz legimel parsos, how far is he allowed to walk on Shabbos outside of the tchum of the city? The tchum gimel parsos do raisa, right? There are different radii, if you could call it that, around the city. Sometimes the radius is derabbanan, but if it's gimel parsos, then it's a radius which is doraisa. That's past gimel parsos. You've certainly violated these tchumen. Va'afil lahavi chosa mitzal malchus mi dachinan misafeg zu shel es haShabbos. Let's say, for example, if you would try to get some sort of a signature from the authorities, almost like a subpoena that would prevent this whole thing from happening, where the Meshumet is taking away your daughter to brainwash her, would you be allowed to bring that chosam on Shabbos, which would be a violation of Shabbos? So that was the question that came in front of the Rashba. What would be your intuitive response? I mean, just even without being a halachic scholar, what would you say?
Listen, I'm I've been out here in the Kiruv world for a year and a half, so you know, my nitiya is to go in the sake of Kiruv and to try to save the Jew.
Right, and here it's a father trying to save his own daughter.
And also, there was a cheshbon. I remember when this came up that if a person, you know, will save them from keeping one, we'll break one law so that they'll end up, you know, keeping
it. Oh, excellent! You're allowed to violate the Shabbos for chola, even though it's one chol Shabbos, but you weigh that against all the Shabbosos in the future. Excellent.
And even though it's a little different, you're breaking your law so that this person can possibly keep it.
Right.
I don't know. It's not a halachic response. It's just
the Heshiv and the Rashba's response. Oh, Hadavar Tzarech Talmud. The Rashba says, "I'm not sure it's allowed." He says, "Mikomakom kach daiti note. I have an itiyah, although I don't know the klar exactly what the answer is, but I have an inclination to say she'ain dochen Shabbos al hatzola me'averos." You don't violate the Shabbos to save someone from doing averos. Kmo sha'amru, Shabbos daf dalid, ein omrim liyodem lachto, b'shvil sheyizke chavercha, v'afilu iser zuta. Thanks. So it comes out that the Rashba at this point is pointing out from the Gemara in Shabbos that we started with that we don't violate the Shabbos to save averus, to save someone else from doing averus, is lo sharina le kedeshe lahatzel schaver mi sura rab. The adkan lo amrina biperik bakol ma'arv nichle lechav de levity sura zuta kiyeh lo lovid amaritz sura rab elok shaoso isur bali amaritz al yidea chaver. This was the first answer that we saw in Tosus. Then if you the chavra causing the amoritz to eat tevel, then you have to do whatever you can to prevent that, even if it means violating an isur kal. Avol binyan acher, when you're not responsible for someone else's aver, like for example here they kidnapped his daughter. I mean, he had no part in that. Is lo, you're not chayev. Kidemukach beper kamen de Shabbos. Bebaya de hidvik pas betanu. What does he mean when he adds this here? Ah, he's saying that other than the case in Erevin where you the chavra were the gorem of the aver of the amoritz, other than that, we go back and we fall back into the general position, the general principle that we've derived from the Gemara in Shabbos, that you don't violate an aver for someone else's averus. But at the end of this whole tshuva, he writes, Od Tzarech Talmud. It needs a lot more thought and investigation. Ad sheyamod adover al burio, until this becomes absolutely clear. So basically, the impression you get is that the Rashba is inclined to be machmir, but he doesn't actually make any definite conclusions. He says ad sheyamod hadover al burio. But at this point, the Beis Yosef continues, and he says, "V'tosis kosim perkama b'tchila k'divrei Rashba." Although the Rashba reflects the first answer of Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, but what about the second answer? What about the fact that Tosfos makes a distinction between a mitzvah rabbah and a regular mitzvah? And here in this case, to save his daughter from shmad, I mean, that's a mitzvah rabbah. And then he answers, V'od yeh shlomar, d'dafka hecha sheposha, shehidbik pas betanu. That pas betanu, ein omrim liyodim chatei, that's the exception to the rule rather than the rule. And the reason for that exception is because there was an element of pshia here on the part of the madbik, the person who put the dough into the oven to begin with. Yosef is quoting the teretz of mitzvah rabba, mitzvah derabim, and therefore in this case, the Beis Yosef says that according to that approach, hadavar barur, says the Beis Yosef, she'ein mitzvah rabba, ein l'cha mitzvah rabba, there's no greater mitzvah, milahatzila shelo yafchidua ad shetishtameh. That's the greatest mitzvah rabba, to present shema. So therefore he says, Im l'tiru tzim machalik bein pesha l'lo pesha. And if you go according to that answer that we're not going to violate an aver for someone who is poshea, hachinami lo posha, here too she didn't do any pshia. Hilkach l'chalel olea sashabis l'fakeach olea shari. U'mitzvah nami ika. The Beis Yosef says, therefore I come to the conclusion, based on most of the answers of Tosfos, that we have a chiyuv to violate the Shabbos in order to save her from Shmat. U'mitzvah nami ika. Ve'afilu l'chal Shabbos b'dvarim ha'asurim min ha'Torah nira d'shapir domi. Not only are you allowed to violate some sort of Issa d'Rabbanan in such a case, but even to violate an Issa d'Oraisa, that too is mutter. You're allowed to do, and the law is going to be, the rule is going to be, Omrim lo li adam lachto bishvil shelo yase chavero isur chamur. And it sounds like the Beis Yosef is willing to take this to its logical conclusion. You're allowed to violate an Iser Kal to prevent someone from Chol Shabbos. To prevent someone from an Iser Chomer of Chol Shabbos. And not only are you allowed to violate an Iser Drabbanan, you might be allowed to violate even an Iser Doraisa. Because he says, Afil L'Chal Shabbos with Varma Asur Men HaTorah Nira D'Shapir Domi. Again, that's not in the case of Chala, but at least in the case of a woman who's about to be Shmadzach, you're allowed to violate even Shabbos Mamish, not just some sort of an Issa D'Rabbanan. And basically, what we want to add to this, and with this we'll sort of see at least the poskim la'alacha on this question of the Rashba. And you'll find this in the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Vav, which is on page 3, Sifkat Yudalit. He writes, Misha Sholchu lo v'hotziu bito mibeso v'shabes hotziu miklal Yisrael mitzvah losum derech pa'amav l'shtagel batzalosa v'yosem izafilu chutz misholosh parsios v'ilo boy bezdin gozrin olav. And if there's a Bezdin, they will oversee and make sure that he doesn't get too frum and say, well, I don't want to do this because it would be some sort of a violation of Shabbos. The Beis Yosef is being makil not only in his Beis Yosef, but also in his codification in Shulchan Aruch.
So who was the Machmir one?
The Machmir one was the Rashba. The Rashba is Chuvus. Yeah, because the Rashba in Chuvus was operating with one particular approach of Tosfos, and that was according to Tosfos' first teretz that we saw, that the difference here is that in the case where you were the Gorem, then you have to get involved. But here in this case where they're coming to take his daughter, he's not the Gorem. So it's not like the case in Erevin, where we allow him to violate the Isur of Afras Shalom and Amukov, to spare the Amoritz from the Issur Chomer of Tevel, because you, the Chaver, was the one who caused the Amoritz by inviting him to eat from your Tevel. But here in this case, says the Rashba, there's no cause. But the Beis Yosef says, but what about all the other answers that we had? That for the sake of a mitzvah rabbah, we will violate an Issur. And for the sake of someone who's poshea, we won't violate an Issur. But here there's no pshia on her part, and therefore we definitely would go ahead and violate this Issur. And if you take a look here in the Mishnah Berurah says that Hotziu Bito Urcha de Milsa Nakat Vuadin Acher Rashoy Lechalel Shabbos Kedatzilu Misa Gadol. It's not a din in the father versus vis-a-vis his daughter, but anyone would have to be Mechal Shabbos in order to save this girl from Shmatzach. And then the Mishnah Berurah adds, "V'chol zeh ma'irish hotziua einam yehudim mibeiso ba'ones." If the goyim came and physically removed him from his house, alkeni tirulo lasum l'derech pa'avav latzilu. The kaibalon im eino poshea ischayv lasos isur zuta kidei shelo Kidesh lo yasa chaver misura rabba. Aval impsha. For example, Ein lo, he says the following. He says that, number one, she's being taken away and she's not a poshea. And if you have to do it, he says zuta. And not only that, but we have here a case of a mitzvah. And he says, I'll impasha, but if she was the one who brought on this situation, ein lo lavil lechal shavas avura. Now, so we won't apply the principle of ein omrim l'adam chatei v'shil shizka chavero in a case where the chaver was, that person was shogeg. But if that person was a poshea, was a mezid, then we would apply, then we certainly would say, ein omrim l'adam chatei v'shil shizka chavero. So if the person who's going to be taken for shmad is not responsible for that situation, there's no element of negligence or pshia, then we have to do what we have to do, violate isakal, in order to prevent the death of that person. When I say death, I mean spiritual death. But if, on the other hand, there was a pshia on the part of that person, then we don't go out of our way to save that person. All right, so we'll stop here.